Thanks, Paul. Good evening, everyone. Nice to see you out this evening. And it's no surprise, we're not going to talk about angels tonight. We are going to look at the Christmas story through the perspective of the shepherds. In a few moments, I will do my best to place you into the occupation of being a shepherd near to the place of Bethlehem. It would help if I had costume and you could be putting on costume and garb and handle the things that shepherds handle, but you'll have to use your imagination. Well, the year 2018 has been quite a year, quite an eventful year. With those wildfires in Paradise, California, we actually had a Faith Academy student who lost her home with her family in that fire. And then, of course, the indiscriminate mass shootings that took place in schools, churches, and workplaces. The Philadelphia Eagles winning the Super Bowl back in February. France winning the World Cup. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle nuptials, the midterm elections. And, of course, the Boston Red Sox winning the World Series. An eventful year, 2018. But listen, we're going to talk about the greatest ever event to play out on the world stage, and that was the announcement by angels to shepherds about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the question is, why shepherds? Why would God in his infinite plan select shepherds just minding their own business, keeping watch over their flocks by night, when it came upon a midnight clear? Why would God choose shepherds? Why not priests or kings or rulers or leaders? And who were they that they should be eyewitnesses to God's glory and receive history's greatest birth announcements or birth announcement? What about shepherds? What do you know about shepherds? What do we know about shepherds? In the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, shepherds stood on the bottom rung of the social ladder. In fact, they shared the same status as tax collectors. But it wasn't always that way. You know, during the time of the patriarchs, shepherding was a noble occupation. So there you go. You're in a noble occupation. You're joining the ranks of people like Moses and Abraham. Shepherds are mentioned early in Genesis chapter 4, where Jabal is called the father of those living in tents and raising livestock. In nomadic societies, everyone, whether you were a sheikh or a slave, you were a shepherd, and you developed those shepherding skills. The wealthy sons of Isaac and Jacob tended flocks. Jethro, the priest of Midian, employed his daughters as shepherdesses. But when the 12 tribes of Israel migrated to Egypt, they came in conflict with a lifestyle that was very foreign to them. In fact, Egyptians were agriculturalists. And as farmers, these Egyptian farmers despised shepherds because sheep and goats meant death to the crops. And battles between farmers and shepherds are as old as they are fierce. In fact, we would remember that the first murder in history erupted from a farmer's resentment of a shepherd. In the courts of Pharaoh, why, they looked down on the shepherd sons of Jacob. In fact, Joseph informed his brothers. We read about it in Genesis 46. Joseph said to his brothers, "Every shepherd is detestable to the Egyptians." Dr. Joachim Jeremias, a German theologian, says that shepherds were despised in everyday life. In general, they were considered second class and unworthy. Shepherds were deprived of all civil rights. They couldn't fill any judicial offices or be admitted to court as witnesses. He goes on to say that to buy wool, milk, or a young sheep from a shepherd was forbidden on the assumption that it was stolen property. He continues and says, the rabbis ask with amazement, how, in view of the despicable nature of shepherds, how can one explain why God was called my shepherd in Psalm 23, verse 1? Indeed, shepherds were a despised class of people. And yet, how surprising and how significant that God handpicked lowly, unpretentious shepherds to first hear the joyous news. So you want to be a shepherd tonight? Certainly nothing glamorous or glorifying about that occupation. As we said, that we would expect that announcement to be made to someone in high authority, political leaders, maybe military leaders, maybe the news outlet Al Jazeera. It didn't exist back then. But look who receives the news. Look who receives the announcement. Just a handful of shepherds, social religious outcasts, were given the announcement. Let's read about that in Luke chapter 2. We'll pick up the reading at verse 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. As we continue the perspective of Christmas through the eyes of the shepherd, and again, try to assume yourself as these shepherds that we're reading about in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in their fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and then the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. And we trust the Lord to add his blessing in the reading of the scriptures. So why the shepherds? Why were they the ones to receive the news? Were they especially pious? Maybe they were unusually holy shepherds. I mean, they couldn't participate in any organized temple religious services, but maybe they were just outstanding believers. But there was nothing to indicate any of that. Nothing to indicate that they were any more religious than anyone else. I wonder if they were expecting God to visit with them. There's certainly nothing to indicate that, but I wonder if they anticipated a visit by God. Probably unlikely. You know, as I consider myself as perhaps being a shepherd out there in that field, I might be wondering if God even knows who I am. I mean, I've never been to the temple, participated in any of the sacrifices. I don't show up for the feasts. I mean, the best I can do theologically is talk with the sheep, and they're just stupid creatures, more concerned with eating and sleeping. And so I might ask the question, does God care? Does God even know that I'm here and what I'm doing? And so why did God send angels to the shepherds? And there may be several reasons. Perhaps there have been some deep spiritual reasons that have been debated over the years, but we don't need to get muddled into that mess. We can just look for the simple answers. And it might be nothing more complicated than God wanting to show that His love doesn't discriminate on the basis of class or wealth or social status. There's certainly no favoritism with God. There's no preferential treatment. The Lord, our Heavenly Father, giving His very best, the Lord Jesus Christ, was a powerful demonstration of His love. And it's available to all people on the same basis. Faith, and faith alone, in His precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so by choosing these shepherds to be the first to receive the news of the birth of Christ, perhaps God was simply letting everyone know that His gift of love was not for the political or the social or the religious or the priests or the educated or the wealthy. No, this gift of love is offered to anyone who will repent and believe and trust Him as Savior. And so we might just ask ourselves the question, as we assume this role as shepherds in the fields, what can we possibly learn from this experience? What can we learn from the experience of the angels broadcasting the birth announcement of the Lord Jesus Christ to us as shepherds? Well, first thing that we can identify is that they heard the announcement. Now, we don't know what time of night it was. We certainly have a carol that we sing, "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear." We don't really know what time of night it was. We don't even know if some were asleep. We have no record of shepherds saying anything in response to the angels. But there is one thing that we do know. What was that? Stedmore? They were afraid. Those shepherds abiding in the field were afraid. It's kind of been a recurring theme as we've looked through the eyes of the Christmas story through various characters. And you can imagine that would have been a frightening thing, because nothing before it had ever happened. So there was no precedent that they could set on. These shepherds were afraid. And I think you and I would have been as well. You know, people don't think that God speaks today. What do you think about that? Does God speak today? You know, we tend to look for some bright light. We might even be listening for the voice of an angel messenger. But make no mistake, God speaks. And God speaks to you and I even today. I think we recognize that indeed God speaks through His holy word, the Bible. For indeed, it is every bit a love letter written for us to read and reread, to memorize, to meditate upon. It's His love letter given to us. God speaks through experiences of life as well. How much have you and I learned through circumstances and things that God allows to happen in our lives? You know, circumstances will often awaken us and take us to deeper, more significant levels, all for the purpose of helping to guide and train and walk in the path that He has for us. God also speaks through His Spirit. He will often use the teachings of a speaker, of a writer, of one who composes songs or who sings songs. But folks, are we listening for that still small voice? Are we listening for that still small voice? Because oftentimes, I think you'll admit, oftentimes we don't hear because we're preoccupied. We're preoccupied and we're distracted. We're consumed with other things, and it causes us to miss hearing God speak to us. You know, we can find all the time that we need for recreation, for shopping, and doing the things that we want to do. We can find time for that. And it really is a call for you and I to be very intentional about making time for God. Are we making time for God? Because God speaks. But we have to stop long enough to listen. So first of all, as shepherds keeping watch over their flocks on that field, they heard the announcement. Secondly, they took appropriate action. So imagine with me one of the shepherds who, as a youth, was among those hearing the announcements proclaimed that night by the angels. And now that shepherd is old. So let me take on that role. I was that shepherd years ago who heard that announcement. And now I'm a little older in life. In fact, I have the opportunity to have my grandson sitting on my knee. And I'm reading the account to my grandson. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out on the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And then as I'm recounting this with my grandson, I stop. My lips are quivering a bit. And my grandson turns to me and says, "Granddaddy, is that all? Well, what did you do when you heard the good news? Were the angels right? Did you see the Christ child, Grandpa?" And I just shook my head. And I said to my grandson, "I never knew. I never went to see. You know, some said it was just a myth. Others found in him the light of God, the power for life, but I never went. I never did go to see him." We can thank the Lord that fortunately that's not what happened. No, these shepherds, after hearing that incredible announcement from the angels, were dazed. They were filled with wonder. And for sure, they discussed among themselves what they saw. I know that if it was me, I would have, and I think we all would have. But verses 15 and 16 tell us what their decision was. "When the angels had gone away from then into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger." Would we have done what the shepherds did? I'd like to think that we would. But maybe not. You know, we might have been tempted to look around to see if others saw what we saw. We might have even debated, you know, could we really afford to leave the sheep unattended? What if the owner of these sheep finds out that we've left? And certainly, what if something happens to one of the sheep when we're gone? And fellow shepherd, what if we just imagined what we saw? You see, the point is we tend to talk ourselves out of doing the right thing. We talk ourselves out of doing things that we ought to do in faith. We might have run to a nearby town and told everyone what we saw. One or two of us might have been tempted to write a book. There may have been one other in our midst who would want to go on the lecture circuit and give a talk entitled, "I've Seen an Angel, So Let's Talk About What's Wrong with You." We might have even formed a new church. Ah, the Lord speaks, and He does so to get us going in a direction that brings honor and glory to Him. But often we're afraid of what others will say. We're afraid that if it might not work out, or that we might have been wrong. We get sidetracked, we miss the point. Many of us are in the throes of celebrating Christmas, and we may have already forgotten that Jesus is the reason for the season. And we don't like what God is telling us, because it may lead to something that we have to change, or do something awkward, or do something that we don't like doing. And so it's a powerful reminder as we view the Christmas story through these angels that when God speaks, we need to take appropriate action. We need to take appropriate action. I presume that all of us here this evening in this nice group of people that we love, that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. But He may be calling some of you to give your life to Him. You know, He doesn't want your approval or admiration. He really wants our life. He wants our heart. In fact, He wants it so much that that's the reason why He came to earth, to reach out to you and me. And we know how that story continues to unfold. He went to the cross to set you and me free from our sin. And of course, He rose from the dead to show us that He was telling the truth, and gives us a wonderful picture of what lies ahead for every one of us who follow Him. You know, Christmas is indeed for all of us. He came for you, He came for me, and He wants us to be sure that we come to Him, and not run in 100 different directions contrary to where He would have us walk. But He might be calling us to something different. He might be calling some of us this evening to turn away from something we know is wrong. And you don't need to be told what it is, because you already know that it's wrong. And yet we continue to make excuses to justify and rationalize it away is something that's really not that wrong. But now you know, and you know that God has shown you, and now you're faced with the question, what are you going to do about it? The angels heard that announcement, and they did something. For some of us, maybe it's mending a relationship. Maybe it's helping someone in need. Maybe it's stop living in the past. Maybe it's something no more complicated than telling others about the baby of Bethlehem. You probably already know what God wants you to do, but you just lack trust. And so listen again to the Christmas story. Don't grow hard and cold to the reality of the Christmas story. Take a good long look. This morning we were challenged to consider the word behold. Take a good long look. Behold what God has done to show His love to you and me. What He has done to reach you and me. To follow the example of the shepherds and act on what God tells you to do. So they heard the announcement, they acted on it. The last thing that I want to join with us tonight is that these shepherds celebrated with joy. They heard it, they responded, and they celebrated. You see, changed lives always produces a joy and satisfaction that demands glorifying and praising God. Now, make no mistake, these shepherds still had problems. There were days when they hated their job. We can all identify with that. But they still battled. They battled prejudices attached to being a shepherd. No doubt they had disagreements and outward circumstances that never changed. But folks, that night their heart was changed. They found a joy that the world cannot give and the world cannot deny. That night they found a peace that no money could ever purchase. And in a very real sense, those shepherds found the Lord. So like the shepherds, have you heard that the Lord has come? How are you going to respond to that? We need to respond to it because it's a powerful demonstration of God's infinite love for you and me. And because this is a great gift that's come from God. You know, in just a few weeks, this will all be over. Christmas will be behind us. We'll be looking at the events in 2019. And come to the realization that in 11 more months, this madness will all start again. But the shepherds never forgot, because their lives were changed by what they saw in the little town of Bethlehem. I can't imagine what it was like to have that multitude of angels in one accord sing or say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Have we heard that proclamation tonight? We need to respond appropriately and really in the deepest recesses of our heart, celebrate knowing that there is a day coming when you and I, no longer shepherds in the field, that you and I will celebrate hand in hand with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May that be an encouragement to our hearts this morning. How about this evening? Encouragement to our hearts this evening. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us an opportunity to view the reality of the Christmas story through the shepherds, a class of people that we would never think would be the ones to receive that first birth announcement. Father, what a joy it must have been for those who were keeping watch, taking care of the sheep in the field. Father, as they heard that announcement, they responded to it. It's certainly a very helpful item for us to consider tonight, that when we hear from you, that we too need to act on it. And yet we would confess that oftentimes we're sidetracked, we're more deliberately consumed with other things that seem to bring a pleasure to our lives and completely ignore the still small voice of you speaking to us. We recognize, Father, that we need to make a deliberate, conscious choice to be listening for your words to us. We're grateful for Scripture. We're grateful for those who minister from platforms, for those that write and sing songs that can lead us to hear what you want to say to each one of us. And so we would pray tonight that we would not be distracted from the things and the attractions of this world. And Father, the Christmas season is a time for inexpressible joy. We've considered that tonight. The shepherds went and proclaimed what they had seen and what they had heard to others. And there's a strong admonition to each one of us to do a similar thing. You have chosen and given us the great responsibility as your children to proclaim the good news to others. May that be our heart's desire as we continue in these days leading up to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. We're grateful for the opportunity to pray one for another. And Father, this evening we do want to pray for our brother Joe. Help him, Father, as he seeks help. We pray for those attending to him that they would bring a relief to the things that are bothering him even now. And so we pray for our good friend and brother Joe. And for others, we just want to remember and pray for those that would love to be here tonight, but for a variety of reasons are unable to. We ask that you would draw near to each one. And the things, Father, that have been shared in song and in word bring honor and glory to you, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.